Jesus. You have your Bibles tonight. Titus chapter number 2. Primarily going to look at a word tonight. A person. And all of us could fit in it. Not be long tonight. We have the Lord's Supper. And I want us to take a little time there. Rejoice in it. Last week in Titus 2, or week before, we're in verse 8, sound speech, healthy speech, clean speech, that cannot be condemned. We looked at all kinds of different types of speech, but it really boils down to two things. Stay away from corrupt speech, that which has no spiritual value, that which tears down, and lean toward, gravitate toward gracious speech, that which builds up. Ephesians chapter 4, edify one another with the right words. And so anytime you speak to someone, husband, wife, neighbor, friend at work, brother, sister, it should always be that you're a little better to them than they deserve. You're always a little more kind to them than they are to you. You're always gracious. Let your speech be always with grace. I didn't say that. The Lord said that very clearly. And so he said, sound speech that cannot be condemned. A gracious speech. Words that are said in the right tone. Words that are said with the right spirit. The correct words. A good word spoken that's correct is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, the proverb says. So Solomon made the statement that, look, you pick the right word and it just means everything. And so as a Christian, we're to always search for the right words. And so we filter our words through the God of heaven. Is this pleasing to you? Let your speech be always as great, seasoned with salt. Salt is both a preservative and it makes things taste better. So it's important that you and I learn how to speak in order to be the right testimony for Christ. Now, the people in Titus had a terrible testimony. And now you'll notice, or the people in Crete rather, and so Titus is the one that's coming to speak to them as their pastor. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 12 of chapter 1, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. What a terrible testimony. Liars, that's not a good testimony. Evil beasts, they devour one another. Their speech is terrible. They just say it like it is, hurt everybody. They don't care how it comes out. They don't care who they hurt. And then slow bellies, they're all lazy. The idea, slow belly is one that, just lays around a couch potato, never gets anything done. And so terrible testimonies. And so Titus has called to the Cretans and said, look, you help them have good works. And so good works is filled with it in this little 3-chapter book. You'll notice it's all over the book. Look in verse chapter 2, verse 14. Purifying to himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Look down, if you would, in verse number 8 of chapter 3. This is a faithful saying. These I will affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So he's trying to get them to elevate their lives to where their works, their efforts, are commensurate with the call of God. So tonight, are your efforts pleasing to the Lord? The way you do things. Now, that brings us to chapter 2, verse 8. Verse number 9. And notice, exhort to call alongside, to try to urge, teach. It's sort of like this. You would call somebody up here to sit down with them. You're trying to reason with them, but you're not just reasoning. You're trying to pull them along with your heart. In other words, your emotions are in it because you care about them. You exhort them. You try to get them to do something. Now, notice what he says, exhort servants. Now, that's the word I want us to look at tonight. Now, we know what this word servants mean. The word is doulos. It's someone bought and paid for. Now, you have to understand, in this day and age, it's not just they went to the slave market and bought two slaves. It's not like that. If you had credit card debt, now they didn't have credit cards then, but they had debt. If you had debt and you couldn't pay it when it was due, then they would come and take your firstborn son. And he would work the debt off. And then if you couldn't do that, maybe you're a single guy, then he would come and take you and you would pay off the debt. And you were bought and paid for because of the debt that you owed. You were a slave. You were a doulos. Now, let me give you the definition of this word. Listen very carefully. In its strictest sense, what he's speaking about here is one devoted to another to the disregard of his own interests. That's the kind of servant Paul is talking about in this passage. You have surrendered yourself because you owe a debt you cannot pay. Now, put that in your life. Are we servants to the master? Because we all owed a debt we could not pay. Now, I want you to understand the passage. We're going to come back to it in a minute, but I want you to see why he says that it is the attitude of one trying to please another, totally ignoring his own interests. That doesn't sound like a slave. But God is trying to get us to have a Christian mindset, a godly mindset, as Christ did to his Father, totally submitted and willing to do whatever the Lord wants, the God of heaven wants, to the disregard of his own interests. It is a perfect example for every one of us in this room. Now I would ask you, have you become a doulos, a slave to Christ? Now, we don't like the word slave. If you've ever read the story of Amazing Grace, the author was a slave trader. He was so corrupt, his crew threw him overboard one day trying to kill him. Or he fell overboard one day and they didn't want to get him out. They were going to let him drown. And some poor soul had a little mercy on him. And he got saved and wrote something like 200 songs after that, one of which was Amazing Grace. You know, how sweet the sound that saved a sinner like me. And so tonight, he considered himself as a slave to Jesus Christ after he was a slave trader. So take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy 15. I want you to see the definition Paul is using when he says, exhort servants. Now watch this. Look at the way God intended for a servant to be treated. Now, look at it from the point of view as the God of heaven will treat us this way if we will have the right attitude towards surrender to him. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. This is Deuteronomy 15, 13. And when thou sendest him out, when his debt is paid, when thou sendest him out free from thee, so he owes no more debt, the debt is paid, thou shalt not let him go empty. Now, he was there to pay a debt, but he said, don't you let him go out empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that which, wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee with, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Remember, you were a slave, and God redeemed you out of it. So you treat them like you want to be treated, like God treated you. He brought you out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. And if you remember when you left, you didn't leave poor. You despoiled the Egyptians of all their wealth. I gave that to you in exchange for your servitude. And I will bless you. Now, then notice, if you would, verse number 16. And I think this is what Paul is trying to get to, the attitude. And it shall be, if he shall say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. Everything is right between the master and me, and I love him. Verse 17, then thou shalt take an awl, that is a piece of steel with a sharp point on it, and thrust it through his ear under the door. You put his ear up next to the door, and you put a hole in it, you pierce his ear. And he shall be thy servant forever. And you can do the same thing to a woman. Next verse, next phrase. Now let's go back to Titus and let's put that perspective on this. Verse 9, Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. You learn to love your master, no matter if he's good to you or not. You learn to love your master, even if he is mean-spirited. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Keep your finger there. We're going to come back to Titus. But notice, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number 18. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, doulos, slaves, be subject, same word, hupotasso, to your masters with all fear or all respect. Now watch this, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, let's go back to Titus chapter 2. He's trying to get the Cretes, who are known with a terrible testimony, to learn to live not for themselves, but for someone else. So in verse number 9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters. You know who owns you. You know who you're to serve. Now, this word, hupotasso, is the word for, it's a military term, and it's like if you have a colonel over you and you're a major, then you submit to him because his rank is higher than yours. It's ordained by the military. So he said, look, you submit to your master because it's ordained of God that you submit to him. Because the way you submit to him is the way I can reach his heart and maybe see him saved. You see, it's never about us. It's always about him. It's about our service to him. And he said, look, I want you to be a slave. I want you to be an obedient slave. I want you, now I love the word obedience. It's not normally, the word akouo is the word for obedience. You know, it's to hear, it's to listen. But this word, eurestis, is to be well-pleasing. It is to try to be agreeable. Look, I want you as a servant to agree with your master in your heart. When the Lord asks you to do something hard, I want you to agree with him in your heart. When the Lord asks you to give up sin, I want you to agree with the Lord in your heart. When he says, look, I want you to go to the mission field, or I want you to go do this for me, I want you to go give that gentleman a track or that woman a track, I want you to agree with him, to be well-pleasing to him. It's not just to do what he says. It's to do it, and your heart's all in it. I want to agree with him. And so he says, look, here's a man bought and paid for that is owned. And he said, masters, I want you to be well-pleasing. As servants, I want you to be well-pleasing to your master, even if he's a bad person. How good a Christian do you have to be to do that? So now let's just back up and say, you work for somebody that's a bad boss. How good a Christian do you have to be agreeable with him as much as lies within you for his sake? So that he can see Christ in you. Now, notice if you would, he says, verse 9, Titus 2:9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to, there it is, arrest us, to please them well in all things. Now, this obedience is one that is, this obedience and pleasing is a heartfelt desire to fall in line with what he asked. To do everything that he asked you to do. To agree with his position and to agree with what he's asked for you to do. Now notice if you would, he says this. To please him well in all things, not answering again. Now what does that mean? Not arguing with him. Not debating. Not saying, but master, you know, that's a dirty job. Or master, that's not something that I really like to do. Why don't you get the other slave to do that? Master, I don't really want to do that. Or master, look, I'm busy and I've already got this project or I've got that. I've got too much already. It's not answering again. Wow. It's total surrender. It's if you've got a load, you're carrying a load, and he puts more load, you just keep carrying it. Trusting the Lord. Now, notice the next phrase. Not purloining. An old English word. Literally, it means to embezzle. In other words, to take something that's not yours. So it's to be sort of lazy. And he said, it's not your time. It's his time. You don't have the right to be lazy, to delay. Hey, let me ask this question. If you went to college and you put off an assignment to the last couple of days, or you're in high school and you've put off an assignment to the last couple of days, you've been purloining. You're kind of stealing from the Lord what he wants you to do. It is an issue that all of us face. And so he said, look, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, all good trust. Not going around. I'll never forget, was building a house in Memphis, the first house. And I remember on one side of the house, they were putting up siding. And I could hear that the boss was around there, of the guys putting up the siding. And I was hearing this, you know, bap, 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 as he would take a nail out of his nail pouch and nail this siding up. And it was like a 4x8 sheet of siding, and he was putting it up and hitting it. And then the boss walked around, and I heard him get in his truck and drive off, and then I heard, bow. And I said, wonder what happened. And I went around on that side of the house, and I could see the guy kind of looking, just thinking, bow. He's embezzling time from his boss. He's purloining. He says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. What he gives us to do, he can trust us to get done. You're a slave. Now, let's take it. You and I have been set free. We are a slave to sin. And Jesus came and set us free. And he said, look, you're no longer a slave. You're no longer a bond slave. I've set you free of your sin. Oh, but Lord, you've been too good to me. Here's my ear. I love you and I want to serve you forever. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans 1. Just keep your finger in Titus, but turn to Romans 1. Notice if you would, Romans 1. In verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He said, a slave of Jesus Christ. I thought you said Paul was set free. He was. But he loved him so much, he said, I'm going back. I want to serve you forever. It says the same thing in Ephesians, and the same thing as you go through various books. Paul, a servant of the Lord, a slave of the Lord. Paul wanted people to know, look, I love him, and I want to serve him. I want to agree with everything that he asked me to do. I don't want to purloin. I don't want to steal time from him. I want to be faithful with every minute the Lord gives to me. I want to be a good servant. Now, take your Bible and turn to Titus chapter 2 again. And I want you to notice this. He says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to please them well. And notice, if you would, in all things. I'm going to come back up there. So we don't get to pick and choose. Everything he asks us to do, we do it. Pass out a tract, we do it. We don't get the chance to say, but I'm good at this, but I'm not good at that. He says, in all things. And notice he says, not answering again, verse 10, not poor learning, but showing all good fidelity, all good trust, that they may adorn the doctrine of God. It's the word cosmetic we get there. Anybody, any ladies here put on makeup? That's this word. Making him look more attractive. That we may adorn the doctrine of God. Notice, that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So we want to put the best cosmetics we can on the teachings of God so that people look at us and say, wow, they serve a great God. Look at the way they treat him. Now take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Ephesians, if you would. I want you to notice this, Ephesians. Chapter number 4, keep your finger there and turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. Now Ephesians 6, notice if you would in verse 5. Now in Peter we found out that we're to be obedient to every master, good and bad. Now notice verse 5. Servants, slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. And so he's trying to get them to understand, look, as a representative of Jesus Christ, while you live in this life, those that are over you, remember hupotasso, that's this word. Those that are in position above you, and I think you used that word, it was a military term that just simply divided people up into rank. And we all know that the higher the rank, the more people he's responsible for. And those people under him cannot say, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And the military says, I want you to move here. I want you to move there. And we say, okay, yes, sir. And we just do the best that we can. And we do it with the spirit that the world looks at and says, how does he do that? And it adorns the doctrines of God, the teaching of God, to where people say, I need to find out more about that God. Not enough Christians that are adorning what Jesus says with attractiveness. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 5 of chapter 6, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with respect and the desire to be so pleasing, you're just shaking with the desire to be a blessing. In singleness of your heart as to Christ. So your purpose for obedience, being under rank of someone else at work, is to please Christ. So your desire to be a good employee is directly related to where are you trying to please the Lord with the way you work. Are you purloining? Just wasting time. Are you embezzling from the Lord? Are you embezzling from your boss? Notice, if you would, as unto Christ, verse 6, not with eye service. Okay? The boss is gone. Bang. Bang. He'll never know. My dad was a wise man in business, and he made money hand over fist. He just knew how to do it. And I remember when I was a young boy, maybe 14, he put me out on a ditch and said, okay, son. And he didn't just say, you know, here, when you get that ditch done, call me. He said, look, son, I want you to dig that ditch. And he pointed from where to where, from there to there, show me where to do it. And he said, I want it 18 inches deep, all the way down, and I'll be back in 2 hours. Wow. That didn't leave much room for talking, you know? I better get that shovel to going. I could have, when my dad got back, I could have said, well, Dad, the shovel didn't work as good as I thought it would. He wasn't going to accept that as no excuse. And so I learned early on that, look, I want to please. I want to do a good job. So I said, maybe I can get done in an hour and 45 minutes or an hour and 50 minutes. And so there's nothing more to do here. Maybe I'll just clean out the ditch and make sure it looks perfect when he comes. Because I know what he wants and I know what he's looking for. So I just don't want the ditch dug. I want him to be able to take that ruler and go down 18 inches all the way down the line because that's the code. And so I want it done right all the way down the line. So I want to try to do what he wants. I learned that early on. I didn't have a lot of choice. But then when Jesus saved me, he said, Dave Pittman, I want you to dig all the things out of your life all the way over to there, clean up your life. And he looks at me and said, because you love me. Well, I dug the ditch because I love my dad and I wanted to please him. So now I want to clean up my life because I love my Heavenly Father and I want to please him. It just fit with me. So when I see this passage, notice it says, not with eye service as men pleasers. My dad always said I could make millions of dollars if I had 3 good plumbers that would always show up to work, not drunk, work 40 hours, and do the best they could, I could make millions. I mean, there were plumbers that burned houses down. They'd get their torch going, and you know, you got the frame up, and they're coming into the top-out stage, and the fire trucks would come down the street as they're down the other end of the street working. What's going on? And I see this one house burning the next house beside it, and they're trying to stop it. What was it? Oh, so-and-so was using a torch, wasn't paying attention, and caught this one on fire and didn't even pay attention until it was already in flames. So he's so focused on soldering here, and all of a sudden he gets a fire, and he didn't tell that wall's on fire and that wall's on fire. How do you do that? It's not paying attention. How is it we get into spiritual sin? Not paying attention, just doing this and doing that. So notice he says, not with eye service as men pleasers. Look, who are you trying to please? If you love the Lord, if you've gone to him and said, Lord, would you put a hole in my ear? I want to serve you forever. I love you. If you've got the courage to say, I don't want the extra sheep and I don't want the extra, the meal that you ground up already. I just want to serve you and you take care of things. Folks, tonight, that's what he's after from all of us. Exhort servants that their works would adorn the doctrine of God, that it would make it more attractive for the world. Tonight, are we doing that? Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, notice, not with eye service as men pleasers. Everybody does that. That's the way men people pleasers do it. Notice, if you would, but as the servants of Christ, oh, he takes it to a different standard, as the slaves of Jesus Christ. You're a slave because you didn't pay your bills. I want you to be a slave like you were to like you are to Jesus Christ. I want you to elevate your slavery because you messed up to the slavery of Jesus Christ because you love him. As servants of Christ, doing the will of God, and here's the key, from the heart. Teenagers, obey from the heart. Don't just obey because you have to. I'm going to tell you the blessings. I was 14. My dad took me out and made me dig that ditch. That's the first memory I have, my dad making me dig. So then I dug the ditch. Now, my uncle was also a plumber. And so I don't remember the time frame 14, 15, I don't remember. I think it was 15. But my dad and mom started having troubles, and so my dad left. Well, I didn't work for my dad anymore. I worked for my uncle. But I remember going out to the job sites, and there'd be a foundation of battered boards around the edge of it, and there'd be rows of them, and we were supposed to take the plans out and put the plumbing, the groundworks in the plumbing. And then he'd come out, he'd take the tape measure, and he'd check to make sure you put the groundworks in, and then you pour concrete around it. So if you're off, you can get a jackhammer and bust it all back out and fix it. So it made a whole lot more sense to go out there and check it and double check it and triple check it and make sure it was right and stake it down so the concrete man couldn't knock it out of the wall. And then they pour concrete over that whole first floor. And everything now is immovable. And so I said, wow, you know, you got to be accurate here. Okay? Lord, I've got to be accurate with you. Lord, I can't just throw things in and be pleasing to you and adorn what you've taught and make it attractive to the world. My heart's got to be in it. And so, you know, I'm learning, I'm trying to pay attention, and I remember going out there, and I remember asking my dad, now I could put all the groundworks in, not the water lines, but all of the sewer lines in, and that was the most difficult part, getting them all in and getting them where they would drain. You got a quarter inch fall, you put your level on all of them, you embed it in, you make sure everything worked, so you could take a cup of water to the top and pour it, and it'd come out the bottom, and it'd be just perfect. So, you know, you made sure everything was right, and I could do that at like 16. And because I listened and paid attention and I did it from the heart, and so things began to stick in my heart. And so my dad leaves, and my uncle comes in and says, okay, you want to work for me? I need you to help me. I said, sure. And so I needed a job for the summer, and I said, okay, I'd like to work for you. So I went to work for my uncle, and he said, okay, here's the plans. I said, whoa, what do I do with these? He said, there's the foundation. Go to the supply house. Order your materials and put it in. I'll come and check it this afternoon. You know, sometimes the Lord gives us a project that we think, I'm not ready for this. But if you, along the way, put your heart into things, God will bless you. He'll use you to do things you never thought that He would want you to do. You can adorn the doctrine of God, and people will say, wow, I want to find out more about where he goes to church. And so now I'm 17, and you know, I've been putting plumbing in these houses, and my uncle, and it was in April. My dad's gone, and my uncle comes in, he says, you know, and see, my uncle used my dad's master license for his company and paid him a fee. And my dad did that a lot to make money. And so my uncle said, I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm going to go take my master's test in Austin. And he looked at me. I'm still in high school. And he says, you want to go take your test? I haven't studied. He said, well, you can study on the way down. Here's the book. I said, he said, you can do it. I said, I guess I can only fail. He said, yeah, come on. So I get in the truck with him. We drive to Austin, Texas, about 4 or 5 hours away. And I'm reading the book, and he's asking me questions and going down there. And he takes his master test, and he finds out he passes. And we got in a hotel that night. He comes back, and he says, hey, I said, well, what'd you find out? He says, well, I passed. So I don't need your dad's license anymore. I said, I have my own company, and I got my own license. And I said, well, did I pass? And he said, oh, yeah, you passed too. I said, ah. Oh. So see, now I could go out to the job site by myself with a helper and put in the plumbing, and he didn't have to sit there and watch me, so the inspector didn't come out and fine us for not having a licensed plumber on site, and I was 17 years old. And I began to think back, and I said, Lord, thank you for helping my dad to make me learn to listen with my heart. I don't get any credit for that. My dad gets a credit for that. Son, you do it because it's right. You work hard because that's what the Lord wants us to do. And then my dad takes a left turn. That's why I was confused. And that's why I don't want you to confuse your kids. I want you to do what's right because your heart's in it. I want you to adorn the doctrine of God so that your kids look up and just, that's what I want to be like. And so as a servant of Christ, when you owe the Lord everything, that the world looks at you and says, wow, I want to know what he's got. We're missing that in our churches. People that are real. And you know what else? We're missing the blessings of God. So I get to college. I need a job to stay in college. And I went and applied for a job in the plumbing department. And they said, we don't need any plumbers. I said, you don't need any licensed plumbers? Wait a minute. You're a licensed plumber? I said, yeah. How old are you, 17? Oh, well, come on in. They gave me a job, and I got through school. I was working on Saturdays, four Saturdays a month, paying my entire college bill. Oh, Lord, could I say thank you? There are blessings that you will never be able to say thank you enough for if you just do the right thing from your heart as a servant of God. So Susan and I got to build our first house. I'll never forget, went into the banker, said, I want to borrow money to build a house. Ever built one? Nope. But I was a licensed, I'm a licensed plumber, been that way for 10 years or whatever it was, 8 years. He said, son, I'll never forget this. He said, I don't loan money to three people. I'm hoping a plumber's not one of them. He looked at me and he said, plumbers, preachers, and prostitutes. I said, well, you only got me on two of them. You didn't get me on the third one, I promise you that. And he loaned me money for the first time. And that's the way I got a chance to build our first house, because no one else would take a chance on me. And that goes back, and I think about that one ditch, 18 inches deep, from there to there, I'm coming out in 2 hours. And my dad said, put your heart in it. And my Heavenly Father says, as a servant of Christ, put your heart into obeying your parents. Put your heart into loving your wife. Put your heart into following your husband. Put your heart into serving Christ. Lord, here's my ear. Are you serving with your heart? Don't embezzle from the Lord. He's too good to us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Servants, slaves, have you got your heart in it? There are so many blessings I cannot tell you for simple obedience with your heart. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're not even going to stand tonight. I'm just going to ask Brother Brandon to play a verse of I Surrender All. If you need to come, just get up out of your seat and come to this altar and say, Lord, I just want to make sure everything's right between us. Lord, I want to serve you with my heart. Lord, I'm sorry if I didn't do something right last week. Forgive me. I wasn't a good servant. We're going to have a word of prayer. If you need to come, come talk to the Lord. Oh, how he loves you. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, what a lesson about the slaves in Scripture. Lord, I want to be a bond slave to you because I love you. Lord, please help me to serve and adorn you with all the sweetness that I can and obedience that I can. Now bless these your people. In your name I pray. Amen.